Ephemeral Permanences, a podcast series by Radio Alta Camera. Broadcast from CAM, Gulbenkian Modern Art Centre, within a public-facing artistic residency focused on ecological materials, their relationship with architectural projects, and a new attitude toward construction. In each episode, architects, designers, researchers, and curators come together to rethink the act of building, biomaterials, cycles, processes, time. Building with what changes, designing with what lives, planning its death. Matter, transformation, and possible futures.
Boa tarde, good afternoon, and welcome to Permanências Ephemeras, a podcast series part of Antecamera's residencies at the CAM, Centro di Arte Moderna, of the Gulbenkian Foundation. Today, we are very pleased to welcome Claudia Pasquero, who, together with Marco Poletto, founded Ecologic Studio. Claudia, it is truly a great pleasure to have you here with us today because, well, I find your work incredibly fascinating and I believe it connects perfectly with many of the reflections we are doing here through this artistic residency. As you will explain much better than I can, I'm sure, Ecologic Studio is internationally known for its innovative work at the intersection of architecture, biology, and digital design. Through what you call bio-digital design, the studio explores new ways of integrating living systems such as algae or microorganisms into architecture and urban environments. So your projects, ranging from installation and pavilions to larger urban strategies, propose new ecological and regenerative approaches to the city, rethinking the relationship between nature, technology, and the built environment. Claudia, thank you again for being here with us. So let me ask you, what does Ecologic Studio actually do?
So I'm Claudia Pasquero, I'm co-founder of Ecology Studio. I'm also a professor of landscape architecture, and Ecology Studio has a very tight relationship with academia, in particular with the Synthetic Landscape Lab at Innsbruck University and with the Urban Morphogenesis Lab at Bartlett UCL. The practice has been founded approximately 20 years ago, and it's always been focused on practice-based research. So how can research be more effective in practice? In particular, our research focuses at the intersection between biology, computation, and design, and try to understand how architecture can play a role, in our opinion, a radical role, in an era that somebody called the Anthropocene and in time of climate change. First of all, many of us talk about climate change and the disruption that are occurring as a consequence. But our planet changes continuously. Change is an inherent characteristic of life. So in our opinion, the question is not to stop change, but rather to imagine an architecture that enables a more integrated and symbiotic change, rather than the disrupted one that we are facing nowadays. In that sense, the role of architecture needs to change. From the first definition of architecture that came about in the Renaissance, we were in Florence, the relationship between the biosphere and the urban sphere at the time was totally different from the relationship we have nowadays. Architecture is an interface between the human and the non-human, or more simply, between the human and the environment in which the human operates. It was defined as a fortress. The prospective view that focused the environment was the technique chosen to draw architecture. This is because the biospheric forces were overwhelming, were wild. The urban sphere was weak. Now we are in a totally opposite paradigm. The network of information, matter and energy that support our growing cities, which we could call the urban sphere, are competing with the natural biosphere. the natural biosphere is weaker, and as human, as urban dwellers, we struggle to establish a relationship with natural forces. So architecture maybe need to transform from something that protect, from an element that protects from the biosphere, to an element that enables a dialogue, an element that is more ephemeral, wet, transformative, and that allows us to create a symbiotic conversation with the natural biosphere. A conversation that allows us to transform what somebody called pollutant, the byproduct of the urban sphere, in resources, to understand them as resources, as urban dwellers from the bottom up.
So it looks fantastic, but also very complicated. So can you just give us some example or one example of a project that you did in the past or you are doing at the moment, just to explain how it works, this process, and how it works, this relationship between all these parameters together and the architecture and the living system and the bio and the computational and everything?
It's more than complicated, it's multi-layer. I think one of the key aspects to enter this project is also the fact that this project needs to be expressed not only through language, but also through meta-languages. One of the last point that I was going to mention before is that one of the key parameters to establish this dialogue with the biosphere is really pleasure, aesthetic, and beauty, is how meta-languages, therefore the arts and architecture, can have a relevance in time of climate change in enabling this dialogue. This is quite visible in one of the projects that is probably one of the most popular of the last couple of years, the air bubble playground. We designed a series of playgrounds, probably the most popular is the one we designed in Warsaw, where the playground was effectively a small architectural system where kids, while playing, allow the re-metabolization of the air they breathe. So while they play, they activate the photosynthesis and the exchange of air between microalgae and some bacteria present in the playground, so a set of micro garden presence in the playground, and the air of the playground itself, inducing what we call a remotabilization. So the air, it's purified, but not by through traditional cleaning, but through a collaboration with other photosynthetic elements that live in our planet, in that case microalgae, that are able to feed on elements that are negative for us, pollutant.
Okay, so somehow could you say that your project, in your project, the biomaterials or these new materials led to the design process rather than the other way around?
Well, in a way, in our project, landscape always comes first because it's a dynamic aspect of architecture. That's the reason also in academia, I'm often dealing with landscape and landscape architecture and research in landscape, because I think landscape is a very important aspect in our contemporary city. Our landscape are not simply part of parks and gardens, but they become really part also of interior architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Become a form of infrastructure, and through the interaction at the beginning with the microbiome, so with cyanobacteria, fungi, elements that are microorganisms, we can start to grow a new landscape in the city that eventually will lead to what somebody called the creation of forest in the city. But to arrive to a forest, we need to start from the microbiome. So elements like microalgae are 10 times more photosynthetic than a larger tree, and occupy less space and can be integrated in an easier manner in the city. For example, we have been working with a set of photobioreactors integrated both in the home environment, in public spaces, in office spaces. We designed an office space in this month for the headquarters of Nestlé that integrate microalgae. And the microalgae are there to purify the space, to create a restorative space for the employee, but also to allow the production of biomass that in the case of Lisbon is then used as food, but can be used also as biomaterial or as form of energy. So In this way, by integrating micro landscape inside of the built environment, we are able to observe the full process, not only of elements that absorb some of the byproduct of our city, the pollutant, but also these organisms transform pollutant in new resources, food, biomaterial, and energy.
And how do you know which is the right biomaterial to use for a specific project? Do you try several things? Do you make different experiments? How it works, the process itself?
So we always work with local species, and there is not one single right biomaterial, but there is always a palette. It's a conversation with the context, with the stakeholder, with the client. So in the case of microalgae, there are multiple species of microalgae. Their color also changes from green to blue to red, although the most popular are green, yellow-green, or blue-green. There are many species, and some are brown, green, yellow, even white microalgae. The red ones are really beautiful. They have a sort of purplish color. Okay. And we work with local species, and then we tend to start in dense urban environment with the work with microorganisms, so either microalgae or mosses or mycelium. And from there, we start to grow a microbiome and start to integrate larger, far local plants. For example, in the air bubble, we have different projects named Air Bubble that create this bubble of clean air. In the playground, we have mainly microalgae in the form of cyanobacteria integrated. But for example, in their bubble restorative space that we develop in Nyon, Geneva, this is a sort of outdoor office space. And we have integrated microalgae, but also mosses and set of 45 different medicinal plants from the Alps, so from the local region. Then the client is using not only as part of the garden, but also as experimentation in health and well-being, because in this case, the client is part of GSK, GlaxoSmithKline Pharmaceutical Company, and this is integrated in between their office, their plant, and the cafe of their structure on the lake, on the Geneva Lake, and integrate different plants that are part of the landscape, but also become part of a productive system.
Trying to imagine your studio, the space where you work. So it's not a conventional architectural studio, I assume. Do you have a part of kind of laboratory or something where you try to make this, all those combinations that you said? How it works in the space where you work every day?
Well, there are multiple levels, I would say. And on one side, as we discussed before, there is a collaboration between the studio and a set of academic lab. In particular, in Innsbruck, we have a wet lab that works both on 3D printing and bioprinting, but also on the investigation of multiple biospecies from microalgae to mycelium. And mosses and lichens and different species that are autochthonous of the region, but also widespread across the planet. So on one side, the studio collaborates with multiple labs. On the other end, there are elements that can be dealt with in hybrid environment. And that's one of the reasons why we created a new space in Torino, the Design Apothecary. This space really hybridizes conceptually not only the office with the lab, but also the living environment, the living unit. So it's both home for us in Turin, but also lab space of cultivation, and as well as showroom of some of the showcase or some of the elements we are investigating and how they can be integrated in multiple environments easily. So the question is that cultivation becomes part of the built environment. We have, for example, realized here in London 1 year ago, Ergarten, office space near simple that integrate in the office space the cultivation of the microalgae. So this micro garden are really garden that can be integrated anywhere, and the experimentation for us need to be more and more embedded in everyday life. Of course, then, as I said, the collaboration with academia allows us to bring forward more advanced level of experimentation. But in the moment, the experimentation is ready to percolate in the built environment, both at the level of the housing unit, landscape, city. We start to integrate this in first exhibition and then project.
Okay, and I can imagine that you have many surprises or many unexpected outcomes many times. So this kind of ephemerality or not defined thing is also part of the process and part of your of the project itself.
It's really the idea of shifting control over design to conversation. It depends also the type of control you want to have. Also, when you have a conversation, you don't exactly know where the conversation is going. You cannot control it 100%, but there are elements of the conversation that come from you that you can control. So in all the projects, both research projects that we develop in academia, then the project that are developed from the studio, there is always one part of knowledge that comes from the previous project, from the previous research project, from the previous build project, and an element of innovation. So there are elements unforeseen, but there are also elements that can be predicted. Of course, prediction becomes a dynamic factor when you deal with growing material, transformative material, and cycle. But there are quite a lot of elements that can be predicted, and there are some that will lead to experimentation and innovation.
And did it happen that in one of the projects that you did, the unpredictable part at the end did the most or change, let's say, the design or the idea of what you were having in mind before?
I don't know, because I kind of see, in a way it happens all the time, but it's built in the process.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a process of cultivation.
Yes.
I grew up in south of Turin, and my family traditionally produced wine. And in that context, production, social system, and political system were integrated. And of course, there are unforeseen, but there is also a prediction of a tendency.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, the unforeseen is what creates the diversity all the time, and there are always unforeseen, but the tendency is part of the experience and is what we predict in the project.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And so it's also not predictable, the future of...
I would say, of the less predictable aspect that we learn how to deal with. Maybe it's more the human interaction. actually, it's a bit different from your question. It's not so much the material of the growing material, the remineralization, the bacteria that are so unpredictable in a way in the project, but are the cultural constraint that in some projects we have been underestimating. And because we come from 200 years of positivism that have considered building a static element that should never change and need to be clean. The modernist architecture has proposed the idea of aesthetic as the white surface, where bacteria are dangerous and need to be removed. So this paradigm of cleaning and of adversity to cultivation and change, that's one of the main obstacles that we had to face, and one of the aspects that we somehow predicted less at the beginning because of our passion and our interest in the microorganism. Usually when we develop projects, we do a quite in-depth scientific research before, and we go through a lot of experimentation in academia, and then we develop first experimental project in art context that are a little bit looser on the scientific aspect, that explore more the cultural context. And then when the project is ready, we apply to the built environment to more permanent projects. So at that point, the behavior of the microorganism is known. Okay. What surprised us the most, maybe we have been, let's say, it's been less part of the initial research, but it's something we've been investigating more lately, also with some PhD student recently and collaborating with other researchers, is the cognitive response of the human. And the fact that that is mediated by a lot of cultural constraints that have been built up in years. So if cultivation becomes an act of cultural, it can become an act of culturalization and transformation for us as human, and also an act of developing a know-how about ecological process that we cannot really book. Before that happens, we need to be able to overcome our cultural constraints towards what bacteria are, what waste is, and how in our everyday life we can deal with change and transformation in our lives. This is one of the main obstacles and probably one of the main unforeseen from our side in our project.
I see. Yeah, I can imagine. And actually, this brings me to the next question, that is exactly about the receptions or the way people, acceptation from the people, and not just the people that is using a space you do, but also the clients. How do you find clients that are, well, open enough to come with you in this process? And what is the relation with a client that has such an open mind to try with you to do such a thing?
Well, on a personal level, myself, I deal more with the academic research, but for what the studio deals with, there is a lot of interest in ecology. It goes on waves since the studio has been founded in 2005. There are periods of big interest and period of fear. I found we are a generation that has been going through a set of ways because of a series of economical crises, political crises, and pandemics that the planet has been going through, that have been generating fears towards the environment. So the interest goes in waves. But when there is interest, the office has been able to work with multiple clients from city to museum to the corporate sector. And there has been a collaboration that has been extremely positive, both with city like Tallinn, that with museum like the Centre Pompidou, and as well with the corporate sector, in particular with GSK and with Hyundai. And the studio has been developing very in-depth project. There has been a lot of support to research as well from their side. One of the main obstacles is twofold. On one side is understanding how these projects are able to enter the built environment in an integrated manner, because ecology needs to be able to connect multiple sectors that go from the productive sector to the communication sector to the sustainability, interior design, well-being, wellness. So often these sectors are dealt with in a specific manner in architecture and are separated. So to bring them together is one of the first, challenges. And the second challenge on the long term is what I was mentioning before, is the cultural, to overcome our cultural constraint and be able to deal with elements that change, sound, transform, and produce in a way in the environment we live.
And what about people that use your spaces? How do they react?
Usually We had in few of the project a set of Q&A, and the response is usually a response that is positive, is this creates really a connection with people. It's also a response that in a way is mediated, because most of the environment in which we've been integrating these micro garden are environment in which we've also been debating a lot this micro garden. So there is already an environment that is ready to receive them. Some of the social groups that are interacting the most are definitely kids. There is a lot of interest from the cyber kids to relate to landscape and microorganisms, in particular young human tend to like quite a lot the microalgae. I guess they look a little bit like aquarium, and there is a lot of interest from young human.
So that's it's a good... Well, it's a hope. So if the kids, they like so much, maybe the mindset and our cultural set is changing and it's going to change. So we have a future.
if we are able to progress and integrate more landscape in the city, we definitely have a future, because kids seem to be very attracted, and therefore if these are integrated from the young age, they will grow with it.
So what future direction do you envision for Ecologic Studio?
Well, the direction that we envision for design in general is the integration of processes of remetabilization, production of food, production of energy, production of material in the city. So the capability to hybridize the living environment with the productive environment, with the recycling environment, so that in a way every hour sold becomes as well a recycling hub, a productive hub. And we don't simply consume resources that are provided from the top down, but we are able to participate in a process of production that sometimes is to do with simply biological material. Other times, as we do with the microalgae, you are able to produce materials that then are digitally transformed and are able to create an alternative environment for us. So, for example, the one I have here on the back is microbial cellulose. And it's grown from waste, it's completely biological and compostable. Well, this is a biopolymer made from microalgae. And then we produce from that biomass that is transformed in filament, biomass that is transformed in filament for 3D printer. And with the 3D printing, we are able to produce object. This is hair tough. We are launching, the office is launching a line of product that are available for purchase. They are in between art pieces, collectible, and product for everyday use, and are all products that have to do with enhancing gardening in the city. Some of them are about cultivating microalgae, but some of them are also about cultivation through pots that are made completely with compostable material.
Great. Well, and now I wanted to ask you something to conclude, but and something that is linked to our residency at the Centro di Arte Moderna here at the Gulbenkian Foundation. And it's about the institution or artistic institutions. So the role that artistic institutions have in promoting sustainable practices or kind of practices that you are doing. So what is, do you think, this role that, for example, Centro d'Architettura Moderna or any other can give to support more circular, more regenerative practices? And if you have some experience with some institutional center that for sure you have, how it comes and how it came, this thing?
Well, I think for us, the relationship with cultural institution and art institution is essential. We have been working with the Centre Pompidou. We have been commissioned 1 year ago a retrospective in the Louisiana Museum for Modern Arts. And all these occasions are occasions for us to investigate something new, that the protection of the cultural environment allows us this level of speculation to integrate a new element that later will become part of architecture. For example, in the Center Pompidou, we have done a project that deals with microalgae cultivated in biogel instead of water, molds that compute seating and reprogram seating interfacing with AI. In Louisiana, we had the chance to work with mycelium and create a forest environment to explore a project. In the recent Venice Biennale, we have worked on an interface. This is really latest research that we are developing. It's an AI interface that allows us to generate a project for the Venice Lagoon by interfacing data from the Venice Lagoon itself. Our approach as designer, but also the input from all the visitors of the Biennale. And this will generate images, but also 3D printed elements that will directly be 3D printed in the Biennale and allow to visualize the result of this process of interaction between human and non-human. So for us, this aspect of, let's say, art is a space to expand knowledge, to test practice-based knowledge has been extremely important. Recently, we have also started collaboration that is one of the projects we are dealing with at the moment. And it's a collaboration that with the Castello di Rivoli, where we are working on a landscape design project to integrate art pieces in a specific area in Italy. So it's really trying to test the environment, this new research through collaboration with cultural institutions.
Good. And last question, what advice would you give to architects or even to artists who want to experiment with living materials in exhibitions?
Experiment, in my opinion, need to come from research. So I would advise to create a relationship between a research institution and your practice. And that, for me, in terms of framework, is the first step. Then in terms of capability to interact with the growing material, it's a different understanding of time, maybe, but this is not only for artists and architects, for everybody. We are in a society that tend to underline speed as an element of the project, and by dealing with growing organisms, we need to understand the slowness as a value. So we need to understand how different organisms at different speed and how can create resilient ecology in time.
Okay, Claudia. Wow. Thank you very much. Grazie mille. È stato Grazie. Un piacere. It has been a pleasure to hear from you and to know about all your experience and all your projects and processes. So interesting, so I think so necessary, I would add. So thanks again, and I hope to see many projects done with biomaterials, and that this research or this in-process research will be not ended to some point, but will go on in the next future. So thanks again, Claudia, and thank you to Ecologic Studio to be with us in this podcast series. Thanks.
Radio at the Camera, listening to architecture, imagining other ways of inhabiting.